Now it's time for Food for Thought here on 107.7 The Pulse. Call 866-823-1077. And now here's Food for Thought.
All right. Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Grand Estate Dairy Promotion. And anytime during our show, if you'd like to give us a call, 866-823-1077. We would love to hear from you. And yes, you are listening to Food for Thought. We're on at a new time, new show, Monday through Friday from noon to 2. And we have all kinds of great stuff lined up for you to listen and hear about and all. Jeannie, how's it going back at the station?
It is going very well, and I'm pretty excited for our next guests because we're going to be talking about some of the tasty health benefits of something that folks have been doing for centuries. And joining us right now is Mark Beauchene of New Hampshire Fish and Game, as well as Peter St. James of the New Hampshire Wake Up Show right here on The Pulse. And thanks for joining us, gentlemen.
Glad to be here.
Happy to be here.
Oh, great. It is good to hear from both of you. And we want to hear more about something that is very dear to both of your hearts. This is, you know, our focus for Mondays is really on health and healthy eating and how we can do things a little differently. And one of those topics has to be what you consume that you have actually hunted or fished for yourself. And I know, obviously, Peter St. James is an avid hunter. Do you fish as well, Peter? I hear you mostly talking about hunting.
Mark's probably more fish than I am.
Okay.
I eat it. Some of the best fish I've ever had, salmon right out of New Hampshire lakes. But Mark has had more variety than I have.
Gotcha. Yeah. And Mark,
I am
a
fish eater. Yeah.
You are. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, as we've been focusing on the things that go into our food, which then goes into our bodies, are we seeing kind of a resurgence in folks who are interested in hunting, or are they really doing it mostly for the sport of it? How does that all play into each other? And then tell us a little bit about the satisfaction of eating something that you caught.
Sure. Well, you know, one of the things that I've seen over the years is that folks are turning to locally sourced wild game and fish to supplement their diets. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that is it's easy to do when it's in your backyard and it's relatively cheap to do. And we're seeing a resurgence of it for sure on our end. You know, we see it with some of the program offerings that we do, such as our Wild Game Culinary Adventure, which is basically taking someone from field to table on wild game and of course, fish.
Yeah, well, let me say, Mark, while I have an inordinate amount of respect for you, it ain't always that easy,
uh-oh,
Jack.
I got to shine it somehow, my friend.
Yeah, no, I hear you. With me, Jeannie, as you know, once a year, if I'm fortunate, I go out to New Mexico and I go for elk because elk meat is low in cholesterol. It has more protein, good cholesterol as opposed to the bad cholesterol, and obviously no steroids, no antibiotics, no vaccines, none of that stuff. And I think the best example is I got out to Albuquerque Airport and was picking up my rental vehicle, and obviously you can tell what I'm doing. I've got a gun case and I've got a couple of coolers with me, and the rental agent, when I went out to pick out my truck, looked at me and said, where are you going? I said, the Gila. What are you going for? Elk. When are you coming back? Wednesday. Well, you know, if a couple of elk steaks happen to fall out of your cooler, oh, look, I can save you money on your rental.
Nice.
So, you know, out there where they are, they understand elk. That was the coin of the realm. And I just thought, oh, my God, these guys get it.
Wow. So, it depends, of course, regionally then. What it is that you're going after, because I'm assuming you can't do a whole lot of elk hunting around here, but that's a hot commodity in that area. And as you said, could maybe grease the way for some things.
I think
someday, Mark, when we have time, we'll tell them about the big elk hunt in New Hampshire back in the 40s.
Oh, yeah, in the 1940s, oh, yes.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
A history lesson there.
yeah, recreationist history.
But, I mean, I'm a beef. I love beef, yeah. Absolutely. Department of Agriculture said in a 3.5-ounce portion of venison, there are 3.2 grams of fat, as opposed to 14.3 grams of fat in that same size portion of lean roast beef.
That is crazy.
Okay? So, I mean, like Mary Chapin Carpenter said, the stars might lie, but the numbers never do. I mean, there you go. So venison in your backyard, there's 3.2 grams of fat as opposed to 14.3. So any diet or any, if you're thinking about healthy eating, there you go.
You're listening to Food for Thought here on The Pulse. I'm Jeannie Lester, along with Carol Lawrence, Michelle Trumbull, and we are talking with Mark Beauchesne of New Hampshire Fish and Game and Peter St. James of the New Hampshire Wake Up Show. And Mark, I'm going to throw this question out to you then. As far as your favorite game meal,
oh boy.
Or do you have a favorite? Because I think both of you probably would agree that a lot of that end product and the satisfaction, I mean, you're going to get some satisfaction because, yes, I harvested this animal. But then the taste of that is all in how you prepare it. Is that correct?
Sure. That has a lot to do with it. And I think, you know, because it's a cooking show, we talk about cooking a little bit. A lot of the typical meals that somebody would produce with beef or chicken or, store-bought fish could do the same with wild game. You mentioned one of your favorites. Definitely meat pie for me is one of my favorites made with venison. It just seems to just do so well. And it does very well with the, you know, the herbs and spices and, of course, the mashed potatoes in there too. But
yeah, that doesn't help. I mean, doesn't hurt, yeah.
Right. And, fish tacos is one of my favorites, especially this time of the year. So, it's, you know, you go out in the morning, you catch a bunch of fish, and you come home and you fillet them up, and it's just something that just kind of warms you up even on the outside and the inside when you have fish tacos in the wintertime.
Yeah,
so,
that's
yeah,
true.
I could go on and on about my favorites. To pick one, it's really not fair to the rest.
So then for both of you, which came first, your desire to go out and do the hunting and then, oh, okay, now I've got to figure out what to do with this meat or how to prepare it? Or was it the reverse and you had this meat and you fell in love with it and you needed to get some of your own?
I know with me growing up in Maine, it was going out to catch a fish and then bringing it home to my mother going, here. Do something with it. I had, and she would bake it or whatever. And then it was kind of like, oh, okay. And as you get older, then you start, you know, you go to a restaurant and you find trout for $25, you know, and I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? I can get a license and I can get one cheaper than that. And then you just learn how to do it on your own and you get to play, and then you run into somebody else that says, hey, you should try this. Oh, really? Gosh, I haven't thought about that. And you just kind of go from there.
Yeah, similar situation on my side of things. It was, you know, all about the family stuff, my grandparents, my parents, you know, everybody fished and hunted, and it seemed like it was part of the norm, you know. And, you know, when I was struck out on my own, it was a natural. You know, you just kind of experiment with it, try to do different things to, you know, get away from doing the same old with game and fish. I like to kind of be a little bit more adventurous with it.
And it sounds like, and we'll get in a second, I want to find out a little bit more about the wild game culinary adventure. But thinking about the economy of it, there are families who really rely on filling that freezer full of game meat that really kind of helps sustain them through season after season. And so just looking at the economy of it, there's reason enough to go that route. I mean, there's the satisfaction that we talked about, but then also the taste and really getting adventurous with some of the meals that we prepare. When you're talking, Mark, about the wild game culinary adventure, tell us a little bit about what that is and if there are a couple of, like, off the top of your head simple recipes you can share.
Sure. Well, it's a a weekend-long program that we developed. This will be the fourth one, and basically it's run by volunteers and some department staff that takes folks from, you know, small game, large game, meaning, you know, deer, bear, moose, and of course, fish, from field to table. We do some field dressing, and then we do some butchering, and then also, obviously, we're going to cook and teach these people how to handle these meats in a, you know, in the proper manner. For the most part, the students do all the work. We're there to advise and bring them along. One of the meals that we did last year that was extremely popular is we did a take on chicken marsala, but we did it with rabbit.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, nice.
And I'll tell you what, it was amazing. It came out excellent, and that's the one, that's the dish that disappeared the quickest. One of the things that was shockingly popular for us is what we call squirrel hot legs.
Oh,
thank you. I don't think so.
No, okay, so we heard a ew and a ooh.
Well, you know, it's one of those game meats that is extremely popular, you know, in the South, but up here we kind of stick our noses up at it, and until you've actually, you know, tried it, you can't judge it. And with doing the hot legs, it was very similar take on hot wings. You know, you'll parboil the legs and roll them into some of your favorite hot sauce and on the grill.
You really mean like the little squirrel legs?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have a few fat ones in my yard right now, like six or seven.
I don't know.
Look at how to pick that one, didn't you, Mark?
My mother's been feeding them, so they're wicked
fat. There you go.
All natural.
So, Mark, these are programs that are happening through New Hampshire Fish and Game?
Correct, yeah. So we do it once a year, and typically it's the last weekend of September. If folks are looking for information about that, they can just go to wildnh.com. Registration will be happening typically in July.
Now, that's Barry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's held up at Barry Conservation Camp up in Berlin.
Okay.
So we have a great facility to do it. You know, it's an overnight thing, so the accommodations are... They're comfortable but rustic.
Yes. And I had I was up there this year for the first time, and saw some of the folks. Talk about a varied attendees, not just hunters, but I mean cooks, retired people that wanted to do something. There were some students. I mean, it was all age groups and people. Some had never hunted before and may never, but they were playing around and watching them interact among each other was fascinating, and the food was great, and then sitting down at the campfire afterwards was a nice way to end it.
Right. Yeah, it was a good weekend.
Sounds like fun.
That sounds like fun. I may need to, I don't know, we may need to go do that.
Yeah, sounds great.
We can see you a spot. Yeah.
That sounds like a good thing to do. You know, my biggest thing, as I'm sitting here still kind of stuck on the squirrel thing, my biggest issue with that, I can get past being squeamish about it and just thinking that they're kind of little rodents. I would be so frustrated at all the work that goes into what I would imagine doesn't have very much meat on it.
There's more there than what you might think.
Okay.
And, you know, it's one of those things that once you know how to do it properly, you're going to utilize the most that you can get out of the animal, whether it be a squirrel, a deer, or a moose. I mean, it's all about being efficient and knowing what to do with the pieces, parts that, you know, that are not enough for a meal or this or that. Can I add it to some other meat and make sausage?
Mm-hmm.
Making stock is probably one of my favorite things to do because it's the base of many things. So, you know, you have all these pieces, parts that you can use for making stock, and game stock, for some reason, just has another level of richness and earthiness that's hard to describe, really.
I bet that sounds very good. I think what we should have done is had you guys cook for us.
I know.
Especially
I know.
A day
and
like today.
I would have brought something in today, too, and that was my plan. But Mother Nature said, you know what, you don't want to drive today.
Well, you just earned yourself another guest appearance then.
Now, see, and the hard part is if you give somebody a wild boar or a venison or a moose or bear, caribou, elk, whatever, if they don't cook it, as Mark was saying, if they don't prepare it right, They just throw it on the grill. It's going to taste like shoe leather, and they're going to say, well, what's the big deal? This is nothing. It's all in the preparation.
Right.
Because you do have to, even something like you're describing, Peter, you can't just treat that steak just like it's a beefsteak or any other, because the fat content is different, correct? And that affects the juiciness, so you've got to be very careful as to how you cook
well,
that.
Well, when I go out to get, when I go out elk hunting, and a portion of the elk, I like burger. Because I can make meatloaf or, you know, it's great in a stir fry or whatever.
Sure.
They have to add 10% beef fat to it because it is so lean. If it, if they didn't add that fat to it, I'd have problems cooking it.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, it's that lean.
And then as far as the meat itself is concerned, moose, where are we at with the fat content there and the flavor? Gosh.
Another one that's very lean.
It's
delicious. Moose is very lean, and the flavor itself is, you know, probably on high-end, high-end beef. It's another one of those things that's it's very hard to describe. You hear people say, well, I don't want to try game because it's gamey. Well, they can't even describe what gamey is
right.
to them.
Yeah. Right.
What my feeling is that Peter hit on exactly this. It wasn't cooked right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's certain nuances of wild game. There's certain nuances of freshwater fish that need to be enjoyed. That's why we eat such great food in this state. I mean, we've got some great restaurants and folks do some great stuff with it, and that's because we've learned to enjoy the norm, you know, the chicken, fish, beef, and pork.
Mm-hmm.
When you get into the game side of things, there's subtleties of flavors that are there that should come out, you know.
And let me give you an idea, Jeannie. Percentage of fat... in a USDA beef, 6.5%, okay?
Yeah.
4.9% in pork, in moose, 0.5%.
Oh, wow.
My.
Yeah.
Extremely lean.
Yep. Right, so if you prepare it the right way, then it's so much better for you. You're going to have all that protein and not as much fat, and you're going to have full flavor.
Right.
That's
right, and that's what we hope for.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, if you chase it up and down the hill before you get it, you get the exercise.
Yeah, well, I've seen people, you know, after a kill, then trying to, how many people it takes to then get that moose out of the woods. I mean, that is quite an undertaking because we're talking how many pounds for a moose. I mean,
if you're lucky, four, and you're not one of them.
Yeah.
That's right. You're leading the charge.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'll drive the truck. Yeah. That is amazing. As you've kind of pointed out, it's a lot of it is our mindset and what we're used to and what we kind of turn our nose up at here is very different in other regions and for other folk. What are some of the most unusual things that you've eaten according to probably popular standards here?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one. Because I'm probably still eating it, that would be unusual.
For me, it's been ostrich and rattlesnake.
Ooh, wow.
And I did each of those once.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you do it again? Or,
maybe, but, you know, again, it's that mindset thing.
Right.
But the nice part is we have come a long way. All you have to do now is look at the advent of the farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
More and more people are going to farmers markets because they want to buy fresh, they want to buy healthy, they want to buy local. And what we're talking about, whether it's fish or whether it's cusk for your chowder or whether it's pickerel or whether it's salmon or whether it's elk or whether it's that all fits into what people are looking for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. You know, probably the strangest thing that I've eaten and still do that, you know, you get people to try from time to time and you get it this time of the year when you're ice fishing with yellow perch, you usually get perch roe. And we'll fry up the roe as if we were to, you know, fry up the fish. And it has a more of a unique flavor and texture than anything else. It's a little bit on the earthy flavor, almost a livery flavor with a texture of couscous.
All right. Now, I need to ask. I know we're closing out our time, and we're going to need to go to break. But what is perch roe?
Yeah.
Perch roe is
eggs.
Eggs.
The eggs within the yellow perch. And it, you know, it really makes... The best thing I do with it is it really enriches fish chowder.
Oh, wow.
It's like freshwater caviar.
Yeah.
Very much so,
yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Wow. Yeah.
We'll make some chowder for you and bring it down the next time we're on.
That sounds fantastic.
Or we can make it there.
Or I'll bring down some elk.
cooking demo.
No, there's no or there. That's and. That's and. I think we've got the next
Fine.
Few.
You bring the fish. I'll bring the meat. We'll be down.
We will line you guys up for some cooking demos and get some good involvement there, as well as tickle our taste buds. So you're listening to Food for Thought here on The Pulse. I'm Jeannie Lester, along with Carol Lawrence, Michelle Trumbull. And we just want to thank our guests so much, Mark Beauchesne of New Hampshire Fish and Game and Peter St. James of the New Hampshire Wake Up Show right here on The Pulse. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
All right. Welcome back to Food for Thought. In studio here live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, during this big snowstorm. Although we can't see outside, Jeannie, it is still snowing, correct?
Will we be able to get out?
You might. If not, we are sending search crews and sled dogs, and we'll get you to tunnel out there. But yeah,
she has to drive me home.
Oh yeah, yeah, even more challenging. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's still snowing pretty fiercely, but that doesn't deter us at all, does it?
No,
not at all.
That was a great segment.
I
loved hearing that, because I grew up with deer, you know, with game meat and fish from Florida. My relatives, that's all they did. They fished for their own fish. They hunted all the time for boar and deer and all of that. And my nephew Eric loves to go hunting. I've tasted moose and deer. It's just amazing, wonderful meat if you know how to cook it, and it's so healthy for you.
Wow. It sounds like that's the key too.
Yeah.
is knowing how to cook it
right. So do a little homework and you know, before you cook it, figure out what, you know, how to cook it, because it is a little different.
And so, Michelle, do you still enjoy that taste today?
Yes.
you still really like, you would
yep.
go out of your way to get some? Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. And I've had ostrich when I was in South Africa, and I was shocked to know that ostrich is red meat.
Really?
Yeah, it's a bird, but it's a red meat, and it was absolutely delicious.
Wow.
It was absolutely delicious. And the other day I had pheasant soup. My girlfriend's husband is an avid pheasant hunter, mm-hmm. and he made chicken soup, but he did it with pheasant and wild rice and vegetables. It was absolutely amazing. So that was my first time tasting pheasant. I had never had pheasant before.
Looks like chicken? Just like chicken.
Yeah.
So if you wouldn't have known
a little
the
leaner,
difference.
You can tell, mm-hmm. you know, it was not a, I don't know, it's a different look, but it was still, you know, looked like chicken, and
wow.
it was very different. It had a different taste, but it was palatable for sure. Very good. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, yeah, you're right. And all of that we've talked about over the last few minutes about hunting and mm-hmm. eating the game meat, that certainly makes me want to take both of those gentlemen up on their offer to cook something for us.
Yeah,
because
try it.
As you said, Michelle, what you grew up tasting those meats, I mm-hmm. never have. And I think if it's something that you haven't been exposed to, then you really need to make a deliberate choice to go out and try that, be a little adventurous, because it's not typically what's featured in the grocery store.
They'd have to trick me on the squirrel, though.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd willingly try that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think so either.
No.
And if I did, I think I'd go for the ones that your mom is feeding. So I get the
nice fat ones.
The juicy hand-fed squirrels, yes. Because again, it comes to my lazy side. I don't want to be skinning this thing and slicing it all up and cooking the meat if it's
No. You have to go get it from someone else that does it.
Oh, well, okay. That's a little better.
Yeah.
Like lazy person's lobster. Yeah. But that's where I have a disconnect as well in eating lobster. I love the taste of lobster, but I can't break that little thing's body. I can't eat it out of the body.
I'll do it for you. That's my favorite part.
It is.
I love it.
Crushing its body?
Oh, yeah. I cook
them. You're a scary lady.
I'll open it up for you. I like the green tamale that's in there. I don't like the roe, but I'll eat the green tamale. Tastes just like butter.
Oh, my God.
Mm, it does. It's like rich, the richest butter flavor you could ever have with your lobster is that green tamale that's in there. Yep.
I don't know, but it just sits there on the plate looking at you.
Yeah,
I agree with you, Jeannie.
Oh, I'll just open the thing up and eat it.
Wow. You know, Carol, I would be hoping if you two are driving home together, hoping you don't get stranded somewhere because I'm not sure for your safety.
Listen, my father, we used to buy 18, 20-pound lobsters from ports from up north, I mean, from the shore, and he'd cook them delicious, and then he would open them all up for everybody. But I don't mind breaking open the claws
breaking
and
open
all that.
The little body.
Not at all. So I'll do it for you. We'll go eat, and I'll open up your lobster for you, Jeannie, so you can have some.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I like that. That works for me.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. You know, talking with Peter and Mark, how interesting, and just, you know, really getting you into that healthy mood, really. And you know what I wanted to ask them, although I think I can probably answer my own question, you know, for people that are listening and do want to try this kind of, you know, game meat, I believe they can still purchase it over at Healthy Buffalo, correct?
Yeah. I believe so. Yep. We'll have to check that out.
Well, we should check that out. And
has all that stuff.
You can get bison at the grocery store, but I think that's about...
No, I've had the bison at the grocery store. It tastes nothing compared to the bison at Healthy Buffalo. That's the best. It's a totally different taste.
Now, let me ask you this. Do either of you hunt currently?
No, I can't do that.
No. You can't.
I can't kill Bambi, sorry.
Yeah, but Bambi, see, when people say that, like I understand, I don't know if I'd be able to pull the trigger on a real deer either, but Bambi is a cartoon.
I know.
You couldn't kill it anyway.
No.
But
I don't know if I could.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No,
see, I'm good with hunting. I have never been myself. And I think, I don't know if I would, it might be something neat to try. You know,
well,
you need to try everything once.
I guess.
Let me tell you about my experience hunting, because I do have an experience. Okay. It was years and years ago, you know, when I just graduated high school, and my boyfriend was an avid hunter. Mm-hmm. And long story short, he went away to Alaska and then came back. But while he was gone, I took up bow hunting, because that's what, he started. He does the bow and then the gun and the, muzzle load or whatever,
all those different seasons,
you know. So when he was gone, I went to where he, got his bows and all that stuff. And Dick Glantz is the one that taught me how to shoot, with a bow. And I bought my own. I got a compound bow, the whole bit. Anyway, when Mark came home, it was hunting season, and he was all happy that I, got my own bow and learned how to shoot it and all this. And we would go to the range and stuff. And then hunting season came, and oh my gosh, I was so excited to go hunting for the very first time ever. And got all camoed up, and we get in his truck and we drive out to way in the woods, wherever the heck we were, I don't even remember. And okay, so we start walking in the woods now, okay? We start walking in the woods, and he leaves me at this tree and says, "Okay, stay here. I'll be back to get you in 4 hours." I'm like, "What?"
Wow.
I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Yep.
And just stand. Don't make any noise. Yep. This is what you do. And I was so scared. I was petrified. If I would have seen anything, I think I would have had a heart attack. Literally, I swear to God, that was my experience hunting. And I did hear, of course, you're sitting there all by yourself, and of course I heard things, and I was so scared, my bow stayed on the ground the whole time.
I can't believe he left you there.
He did.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was the best introduction to hunting.
Me neither.
Because
probably not.
I believe that, it can be quite a thrill, but I've not done it myself. It would be neat to try, just to go out. And like you said, I'm not sure that I could pull the trigger, but I wouldn't mind being there when somebody else did.
Yeah, that's true.
And then just the flavor of that meat, and just really seeing, this is what people, centuries ago did. This is how you eat.
Right.
This is, they did not go down to Hannaford or Market Basket or wherever and pick it up that way. This is survival. And so it's really getting back to what was.
That's right.
Without the, that they have not been fed antibiotics and all the other things that people are concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yes, listeners, you are listening to Food for Thought, and we are at a new time, noon to 2, Monday through Friday, and tomorrow we have coming up Linda Thompson-Ditch. She is originally from Kansas, but she came out here to New Hampshire, and now she's back in Kansas. So We're going to be doing a segment with Linda, What's Cooking in Kansas, and she has a food blog. And we're going to hear all about Linda tomorrow. And then we also have Jeff Bart that will be joining us from Granite State, Granite State Candy and Ice Cream. And Make-A-Wish tomorrow. So we have a full show. A good day tomorrow coming up.
We do.
And you know what? I'd like to just chat a little bit about. Did you do any of the events this week at Wine Week, Jeannie? Or
I did not. No.
Well, I did go to Daryl and I. Well, Ken Kale gave me tickets. Gave us tickets to the to the Easter Seals Wine Spectacular on Thursday night. It was held at the Radisson, and what a fun. Fabulous time we had. It was great. All the wine that was there, and it was incredible. And, you know, there was just one little statistic. Earlier that day, I was on Ken's show, and we were interviewing a few of the wineries that came in from California. And do you know that that New Hampshire sold more than $278.5 million in wine?
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? That in the fiscal year 2014.
That is amazing.
That is how much wine comes out of New Hampshire. Mm. I think that's like amazing. Mm. And then we also, we popped over at the BVI wine, the ice bar.
Ice bar. Oh my gosh.
Wasn't it incredible?
It is incredible. It really is. My first time when I went the other night, it's beautiful. Absolutely.
Absolutely gorgeous.
And bigger than I thought. I thought it was just going to be this.
You had never been?
I had never ever been. No. Yeah. And it was incredible.
Yeah. It's unbelievable what they
well something to see.
So describe then for me and the listeners that don't know, the ice bar, that sounds is there something concocted out of ice?
Oh yes. It's
two bars. There's two separate bars.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have like
so made out of ice, like formed out of ice.
Oh yeah, everything.
Like bar size. Okay.
Yep. I'm sure you can go to Bedford Village's website, and I'm sure they must have pictures.
They had
there.
A big, huge ice bench with a blanket on it that you could sit on. Yep. Huge ice bench that people could sit on.
And tall cocktail tables yep. all made out of ice.
Yep.
All made out of ice. It was like a winter wonderland.
Yep.
Wow. And they do that
Sculpture
every year.
Of a full-size horse.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ugh.
Wow.
Eiffel Tower on one of the bars. Yep.
Well, it was a Paris theme, so
yeah. Oh, that's right. The Eiffel Tower was on one of the bars. Oh my God, it's incredible.
That sounds amazing. Wow.
I think we need to go on a break, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. All right. Well, you know what? We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about my Italian cook-off, and I'm going to announce who the winner was on Saturday night at the Dalton residence. So
cool.
Stay tuned, and Food for Thought. I'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
All right, welcome back. Food for Thought. In studio, live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, Monday through Friday, noon to 2. We have a lot of stuff in store for the listeners, and hopefully the show's going to go well.
Of course.
I think started off pretty well. I'm all in my healthy thinking mode, hopefully.
At least on Mondays you will be.
That's why we put it on Mondays. I mean, that's why every person starts their new healthy, you know, lifestyle.
That is correct.
But,
that's right.
Yes, but I can tell, Carol, that you are determined, and we're going to carry this in practice anyway through the whole week. And we'll be talking about all kinds of other recipes and foods, I'm sure, but...
Definitely. Yeah. But you are right. Yes.
Your journey is going to be a success.
And I'm excited, too, because when we go out to eat, I'm going to eat healthy with you.
There we go.
Nice. So
that's what, you know, I'm trying to eat healthy during the day. I bring healthy to and everything I bring for lunch at school. It's all healthy. And when I go out to eat, that's what I have to change.
Yeah, we have
ordering
to do that.
More healthy right. than not.
Like you said, taking that few extra seconds to
that's
really
what I'm
think.
Do. Yep.
Before you make that choice and put that in your mouth.
Absolutely.
You know, really. So,
and Michelle, that's I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No.
That's a good point because it's largely affected too by who you're around. I mean,
right.
food is such a social thing for good and for challenging. And it's hard to get into a manner of thinking differently about it as well. And to, you know, just last week, my kids started off the week with some challenges at school. And then all three of them turned things around and did such a great job with their grades by the end of the week. I was thrilled. And what's the first thing I thought of to do to reward them? I was going to take them out for ice cream. And I thought, well, wait a minute. What am I saying? Like, you do well, you reward yourself with food. Well, right. Sometimes that's okay. So we actually ended up doing something a little different. But it's
yogurt.
Yeah, we could have done that. I actually, we got an activity together, which was fun. But and I had them help cook something at home. So That was kind of a neat way to do that. But it is interesting in that food has such a social component for all of us.
Yeah, it's true. We just automatically reward with food. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to,
which it still can be rewarding.
Right.
It's just making choices that are going to be satisfying to your palate as well as good for your body.
Exactly. Well, in talking about all this, we're trying to talk healthy. Now I'm going to go to the Italian cook-off.
Yes. Tell us about the cook-off.
Well, you know, it was quite an experience. It was very, very fun. It was held at our friend Ann and Ned's home, and lots of people were there. And what she did was she had all her friends and she had friends and family there, and everybody brought an Italian dish. Mm-hmm. And it was so fun. I mean, I was in my element. I was tasting food and, you know, trying different things. And, you know, the variety of things that people brought were just amazing. I was, Dennis and Brenda brought Italian chili.
Oh, cool.
Have you ever heard of Italian chili? You know, it was so funny. I'm like, what makes this Italian?
Full of
you
garlic.
Know? And it had some garlic and even had some mushrooms in there. Yeah. And, you know, just different Italian seasonings.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it definitely, you know, when you tasted it, it had that Italian twist
right,
to it.
Right,
it was
right.
It was amazing. And Anne, the hostess of the, you know, the home, she made this beef bourgeois, you know, it's like, you know, little pieces of filet, like wrapped. And she had like there was like breadcrumbs in there. I even think there might have been some cheese in there. She had broiled them like under the broiler.
Nice.
They were so good. Nice and tender. Just little like stuffed, little meat, you know.
Did anybody make eggplant? Because that's my favorite.
Well, there was a couple of different eggplant dishes. Mm. And so the variety, you know, there was, you know, lasagna. Ned, Ann's husband, made this beautiful salad. Now, either of you ever hear of white balsamic vinegar?
No.
I never did either. See, I'm glad you both said no. Thank you. Because I was really surprised. He makes this, it's a salad with prosciutto and a romaine and celery in it and with clear balsamic vinegar. And I'm like, I never heard of clear balsamic vinegar. And like you said, you know, it doesn't stain the lettuce. You know,
right.
Like, you know, like how the brown, you know, gets the lettuce, you know, gets it brown. But, you know, I mean, I guess that's what balsamic vinegar is. But what a refreshing salad. It was delicious. But my favorite for the evening was made by Maureen. And Maureen from the Radisson. And she made, it's called eggplant timbale. Have you, either of you ever heard of that?
No.
I will tell you, it was amazing. The way that it looked was absolutely beautiful. It was like molded in a round cake pan.
Yeah.
And just picture, it's like a cake, but it was made out of eggplant. There was fennel, carrots, red wine, veal meatballs, little tiny veal meatballs.
Wow.
And she like, and then like pieces of eggplant, fried thinly, you know, pieces of eggplant, fried with some thick, spaghetti. Also entwined in there too. And then she puts it in this mold and then it just came out. You like cut it like a piece of pie. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That was my winner of the evening. Was the eggplant timbale. It was really to die for. Everything was very good. Even like John and Colleen Clayton, they brought she works for Perfecta Wine, so she was at the wine extravaganza. and she brought the leftover wines that they had. So we were having all kinds of different kinds of Italian, you know, white and red wines, and so it was everybody fun. Just brought like their own thing, and it was really good. It was really, really fun, very fun night.
So that's who won.
That is who won. Maureen from the Radisson with her eggplant timbali.
Wow! Right. Like congratulations, I said,
everybody. Yeah, it was. Yes, congratulations to Maureen.
Is she a chef there?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
So say, do they have it at the Radisson?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking
it.
Too. I want to try it.
They don't. Another dish that was really, really good too was the risotto, mushroom risotto.
God, I love that.
I love risotto. Yeah, risotto's risotto is a time-consuming thing to make. You got to have patience. And, yeah, that was delicious. Nice. Everything was good. Everything was good. But it was a fun night.
Oh, awesome.
Wow. Jeannie, we made it through the first show.
Absolutely. Yes, with the help of our friend Michelle.
Yay.
Thank
you so much.
So blessed today.
What we touched on a variety of things. And we certainly want to mention our sponsors. Thanks to our sponsors again, Express Jewelry Center in Concord, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions at integrityfit.com, Red Arrow Diner, Belmont Hall in Manchester, New England Coffee, and Celeste Oliva in Concord. And we get to mention Red Arrow Diner in Manchester, Milford, and soon, Londonderry.
Yes. All right.
Great show, you guys.
Yes. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.